For a few weeks now, we've been looking at some of the names of Jesus. Last Sunday, we learned that everything we need is found in Christ. And the reason that everything we need is found in Him is because He is the great I Am of Exodus chapter 3. And in the Gospel of John, we saw last time, in reference to being the I Am, that He is the bread of life, that He is the light of the world, that He is the life, and He's the resurrection. He's the true vine. He's the source of our strength and our spiritual life. But today, we're going to see Him as the Good Shepherd. Out of all of those great I Am statements in the Gospel of John, we gravitate towards this one. And one of the reasons why we gravitate towards this one is because this one is a relationship phrase or term. And we like that because we're relational people. The Good Shepherd. There were two men who were called on in this large classroom setting. And they were called on to recite the 23rd Psalm. One was a published orator, trained in speech technique and drama. So he repeated Psalm 23 in a very powerful way, "The Lord is my shepherd," with all the feeling and gusto that someone that's a trained orator can do. And when he finished, the audience cheered and even asked for an encore that they might hear his wonderful voice again. Then the other man stood. He was much older than the first man, and he simply repeated the same words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and so on. But when he finished, no sound came from the large class. Instead, people sat in a deep mood of devotion and prayer. After a time, the first man, the orator, stood up to his feet and he said, "I have a confession to make. The difference between what you have just heard from my old friend here and what you heard from me is this. I know the psalm. My friend, he knows the shepherd." As we look at Jesus, the Good Shepherd, this morning, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I really know the shepherd? I want each one to ask that question as we go through this. Do I know the shepherd? Can I say what the psalmist said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, my personal shepherd"? Do you know that? It's true in your own life. So many of the names that we've looked at and that we will look at for Jesus is found back in the Old Testament. The Old Testament promises that one day a great shepherd will come. Micah 5:4 says this, "And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." In this passage given by Micah, he's looking forward to the day that a great shepherd would come and then make his people feel secure. Why would they be secure? It's because the great shepherd will come and rule as their shepherd. And Micah also said in chapter 5, verse 2, which is quoted in Matthew 2, 6. So I want to read the Matthew 2, 6 one, which is the quote of Micah 5, 2. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." See, Micah predicts that a shepherd ruler will come one day. And then Matthew restates the promise and even tells us where he will come from. It will come out of Bethlehem. And we know as we went through Christmas that that prediction was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that he is the shepherd ruler who came out of Bethlehem. But I want you to add what it says in John chapter 11. Here Jesus is speaking, and he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And then he also says in verse 14, I am, twice, the good shepherd. See, he's claiming to be the great shepherd that would come from Bethlehem that Micah talked about 700 years earlier. He made that claim. Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. And in John chapter 10, we find Jesus describing himself and his activities as the good shepherd. And so I'm going to read portions of John chapter 10 for a scripture reading. John chapter 10, verse 3, it says this. You can follow along on the screen if you would like. John chapter 10, verse 3. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Down to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, verse 17, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. In John 10, we see the good shepherd describing himself and what he came to do in a number of ways. And we want to look at some of those ways this morning. So some of the characteristics of the good shepherd are, number one, the good shepherd owns the sheep. The good shepherd owns the sheep. The sheep belong to him. Look how many times he calls them his own in our text. He calls his own, verse 3, his own sheep by name. Verse 4, he has brought out all his own. And then another time in verse 14, I know my own, and my own know me. And there's another one in verse 27, he says it a little different way, but it's the same thing, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Five times in four verses, it says, we belong to him. His sheep belong to him. He is the shepherd of the sheep because he owns them. See, we are his sheep, Scripture says. The people of God are his sheep. Back in the Old Testament days, the Israelites were the people of God and they were his sheep. It says this in Psalm 95, verse 7, he is our God and we are the people of his pasture. The we are the Israelites, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That's a great statement. The sheep are not only owned by him, but they're in his hands. That is a safe place to be. Remember what he said, no man can come and pluck them out of my hand? In John 10? The Jewish people understood clearly that God was their shepherd. They understood that as sheep, they needed God to feed and lead and protect them. Why? Because isn't it true? Sheep are helpless. They're helpless creatures. They're very needy creatures. And so he likens you and me to the sheep. But we so much want to be the shepherd, don't we? We like being the shepherd. We like being in charge. We like being in charge of the other sheep, don't we? But all we are is a flock of sheep in need of a shepherd, each one of us. And also in the New Testament times, the church is the sheep of his hand. John 10:27 says, the good shepherd Jesus says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus, who are you talking about? Who are your sheep? And he tells us who they are. It is all those that have been given eternal life, because he goes on and says, I give them eternal life. The sheep are those who possess eternal life. All of those that possess eternal life through faith in Christ are his sheep, he says. So all of those that have been given eternal life are his sheep. Well, how do we know if we are his sheep and have eternal life? He goes on in the text and he says, here it is. You want to know how you know if you are part of his flock and that you have eternal life? He says, because they hear my voice and follow me. Who are his sheep? You and me, who've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, how do we know for sure? Well, we hear his voice and follow him. That's how we know. We hear his voice and follow him. Scripture says that means we keep his commandments. That means we have it in our heart to want to do his will, follow his will, to do what he wants us to do. Why? Because he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. He leads, we don't lead. We get in a mess when we jump out ahead of him and we say, come on, shepherd, follow me. No, that's not the way it works. Because if we do that, we will wander. We will go the wrong direction, and sooner or later he'll have to come chasing after us. And he will, because he's a good shepherd. And so the Jewish people in the Old Testament were his sheep. And then in the New Testament, the believer in Christ is described as the sheep of his pasture. See, as a believer in Christ, the good shepherd owns you. You belong to him. It says this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Don't you realize, speaking of to the sheep, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Then he makes this statement. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. This says you do not belong to yourself. You belong to another. The Greek word translated not there in that text, you do not belong to yourself. That particular not is the strongest Greek not word in the Bible. It's the strongest word. You are absolutely not your own. No exceptions whatsoever. You do, and you could write that in capital letters with 10 exclamation points behind it. You do not belong to yourself, he says there. See, he owns you. You belong to the good shepherd. And you know that's a privileged place to be in? Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, describing the sheep of his pasture. And then notice what he says last, a people of God's own possession. C.H. Spurgeon said this, it is a great privilege not to be one's own. Does any man think it would be a pleasure to be his own? Let me assure him that there is no ruler so tyrannical as self. He that is his own master has a fool and a tyrant as his lord. He is called the good shepherd. Self, not so much. Actually, we could probably say it's just the opposite of everything he is what I am. Spurgeon says it's a good thing to not be your own master. Because that master, that shepherd called self, is selfish, is harsh, is demanding, is vengeful, is jealous, prone to anger, and can act very, very foolishly. But the good shepherd is good. That means the shepherd is excellent, lovely, beautiful, preeminent, and morally good in every way. Now, what shepherd would you want in charge? Which one would you want to bow down to? The excellent, beautiful, morally perfect, good shepherd and follow him? Or a shepherd that's called self, that can be the opposite of all of that? And here's what's so awful about all of this, is that not only do we choose not to follow the good shepherd, but we choose to follow this selfish shepherd, self. But as a selfish shepherd, not a good one, I want everybody else to bow down to him. I want everybody else to meet my own demands. And when they don't, I will get angry and upset because they are not bowing down to my shepherd, this self that is ugly and cruel and selfish and jealous and sometimes acts so foolishly. I wouldn't want you to bow down to that shepherd because I don't even want to bow down to that one. But sometimes I do. And sometimes I require you to. But God says he's the good shepherd, the preeminent over all shepherds. That's that word good. I want to bow down to a shepherd like that. Not a shepherd like this. As a under shepherd, a pastor, bow down to him first. Because sometimes I won't be all that I should be. Bow down to him first. Everybody in positions of leadership, be it a pastor or a parent or a boss at work. The best way to do it is from that position of in life, make sure you're bowing down to the good shepherd so that through that you will become the kind of parent, boss, pastor, teacher that God wants. So he's the good shepherd, and he's the only one there is that you could call and really call good. So not only does the good shepherd own the sheep, and that's cool to be owned by him, a very good master who will treat me right and be there when I need him. Not only does it say that, but in our text it says the good shepherd loves the sheep. That means he cares for the sheep. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, the shepherd, is not just a business kind of transaction or relationship, nor is it just a religious type of arrangement that you have with him. It's just not some theological fact that we know and believe, but it's a warm, intimate, caring relationship that's described with the shepherd. See, verse 3 says this, he knows you by name. I was thinking about that. You're not just some number to him. It's a very personal thing with the shepherd. The good shepherd actually loves you and me in an intimate, unique, and personal way. He does not see us as one big flock. Notice how often the word know, K-N-O-W, is used. The word know is seen two times in verse 14, two times in verse 15, and then it's used one time in verse 27. Five times in three verses, it used the word know, and that's the word gnosko. The word gnosko means to know experientially, not theologically, not in a business kind of way, you know, where they just tells you what to do and, you know, and you do it and there's no relationship. But it's a experiential kind of knowledge that we have here. It's talking about a love relationship that we have with the shepherd. In the Old Testament, it says, Cain knew his wife, and she bore a child. This is speaking of the most intimate of all human relationships, is it not? And that is the word that we're looking at here. The good shepherd wants to have a loving, intimate relationship with you. The good shepherd knows us individually, and he wants to fellowship with us intimately. The good shepherd knows everything about you. Everything there is to know, he already knows it. See, he doesn't have to go to Celebrate Recovery to hear your story. He already knows your story intimately. He knows your background. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what tempts you. And he knows where you and I are prone to wander. So he knows all of that. And he still, knowing all of that, chose you and loves you. Often we want to hide stuff because if we're afraid that if people really knew what was down deep in me, they wouldn't like me so much. They might even be afraid of me, or they might think I'm a horrible person and wouldn't want me as their friend. Jesus Christ already knows all of that. All of those hidden secrets. All of those things that we've stuffed deep down that we haven't shared with anybody. He knows it all. And he still chose you. And still loves you. And me. The good shepherd not only owns the sheep and loves the sheep, but the good shepherd leads the sheep. Verse 3 and 4, at the end of verse 3, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. See, a shepherd, a good shepherd, can only lead you out successfully because he knows where he's going. Not so much with me. I'm one of those people that thinks he knows where he's going and often doesn't get there. I remember one time I went visiting a person who visited our church one time, and I was going to their house and everything, and one of the other men of the church wanted to visit them also, and I don't remember why, but he was in his car and I was in mine, and he was following me to their house. See, I'd been to their house before. I knew where their house was. But we never got to their house. It's not so bad when you're by yourself and you don't get to their house. There were many times when I said, Sharon, I'm going to go visit so-and-so. And she'd say, okay, and I'd leave. And then 30 minutes later, I'd come back, and I never had a visit. I never found the house. But it's more embarrassing when you got someone following you. And you think you know where you're going, but you don't, and you never found the house. Well, our shepherd is not like that. Do you think our shepherd would ever go to the mall, come out after shopping in one of those huge malls, and can't find a car? Do you think that would ever happen to the good shepherd? No, he would always know where the car was. Well, what if you went out into the woods? Would this shepherd ever get lost? And the answer is no, because, see, he leads them out. When he has brought them out all his own, he goes before them. See, he knows the terrain. He'll never get lost. The good shepherd will never lead us any place that he has not already been himself. And that's why he can lead us successfully. He leads his sheep. He doesn't herd them and asks us to follow. Because he knows the terrain, he's already been there. And he says, come on, let's go. Where's he leading us? He said he'll lead them out and he will go before them. But where are we going? Don't we like to know where we're going? Well, it says in verse 9. Verse 9 tells us where we're going and where he's leading us. He says, to the pasture. To pasture. Verse 9. And not any pasture. Psalm 23 says, to green, lush pastures. That's where he's leading us. He's leading us to green pastures. To a place of rest and of satisfaction. And joy and contentment. And isn't that what we all want? And that description sure sounds a lot like heaven to me. That's where he's leading us. He's leading us out to cool waters and green, lush pastures. And as his sheep, where do we find green, lush pastures where we can rest and feed? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, Scripture says that He's the good shepherd. He's the source, because He's the great I am. The good shepherd knows the way to find rest and peace, whether in this life or in the next. Makes no difference. But you know what? I have found the way to the pastures, that place. Whether here or the next life, makes no difference, is hard and full of difficulty. Isn't that true? As he leads us out towards the green, lush pastures, towards that place of contentment and peace and fulfillment and joy, often we will be required to go through hard stuff. As the children of Israel made their pilgrimage toward the temple in Jerusalem, the place of worship, the place of communion with God, they had to, on their way there, they had to travel through the Valley of Baca, or as it says in the NIV, Psalm 84:6, the place of weeping. As he leads you towards that place, towards the green, lush pasture lands, you will go through the valley of tears. Hard times, difficult days, sad days, grieving days. Yeah. Because the fact that he's just the shepherd, the good shepherd, who's leading us there, who wants us to enjoy that in life. There's no guarantee. It does not guarantee that we will not experience the valley of weeping. And so just like Israel, as they had to go through that valley to get to the place of worship, place of satisfaction and peace and comfort and fellowship and all of that, we too must go through the valley. And it might even be the valley of the shadow of death that we walk through. See, the Good Shepherd leads us because he's been there. He knows the terrain. He knows the path. He can get us through those dangerous places if we walk and follow him. But there's one more that we see here about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. Four times in verse 11, 15, 17, and 18, it says he lays down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd will lay down his life personally and freely for the sheep. Matthew 20, 28 says, "The Son of Man gives his life a ransom for many." The Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep. That particular little word translated "for" there is hooper, which means on behalf of or for the sake of. So the Son of Man gives his life a ransom on the behalf of, for the sake of the sheep. Not for himself, for his sake, for the benefit of him. No, it's for the benefit of the sheep that he lays down his life. So he died for you, for your sake and for mine. He died purely, exclusively for our benefit, now and forever. He gave his life in your place as your substitute so you can be given forgiveness and cleansing of sin. In Zechariah 13:7, the prophet is talking about the Good Shepherd laying down his life. And it says it this way, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd." Even in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before the first Christmas, we are given a prophetic glimpse that the Good Shepherd would lay down his life, would give his life for the sheep. Isaiah 53:4 says, "He was stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd gave his life so that you could live. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Maybe it's the more important question is, does the Good Shepherd know you? Let not what Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, where he said this, "Depart from me, I never gnosko you. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you." These words were found engraved at the Cathedral of Lübeck in Germany. It says this, "You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not." Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Follow him as that Good Shepherd. As we approach the table in just a moment, a table given to all those who can say, the Lord is my personal shepherd. Never forget that He laid down His life so you could say that. He gave His life so you could live. So don't waste the life. Don't waste the life that He gave you as a gift. Live for the Good Shepherd. Not for self, but for Him. Father, we thank You for the fact and the truth of this great analogy, this great illustration, that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd is the one who will lay down His life for us. And I pray, Father, that we would grasp hold of this great, personal, intimate analogy. That we would see Him as such. We would follow Him, knowing He is the Good Shepherd and will never lead us astray. But Father, that when we go through hard times, He will walk through those times with us, because He is that beautiful, excellent, good, preeminent Shepherd. And we do pray these things in Your Son's name. I want you to take your hymnal.